Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
I'm back with Miguel Ferrer. And Miguel, as chairman of UBS, you have helped finance the government and helped finance industry multiple over these 50 years. But in addition to that, you've been, of those 50 years, you've been running, administering a major entity here in Puerto Rico. Tell us a little bit of the history of UBS, how it got to where it is, the size of it, and the challenges that has brought to you. And of course, you've been successful overcoming those challenges.
Well, when I returned to Puerto Rico after working in Wall Street for some time, I came to open a branch at the then new Banco Popular Center in Atorrey. We were the first tenant in that building. That was in 1965. And we were two people, a person by the name of Tomas Acevedo and myself. And then by the end of the first few weeks or months, we were four, and we had a little corner office, and then that grew. And it began growing slowly at the beginning and then more fast over the years, because we found that there were areas of business in Puerto Rico to be serviced by a financial entity that were not being covered. And one of the areas was the 931 corporations that existed prior to 936 corporations. They had a lot of money and nowhere to invest it, so we created, with the help of the legal brains power that was available in Puerto Rico in various law firms, methods to invest those vehicles, to invest that money. It became very profitable. Then we found that there was an opportunity to finance the government. In the early days of here, the government of Puerto Rico didn't used to place bonds in Puerto Rico. We did everything in New York. And we were lucky to convince the then president, Alfredo Salazar, to try to get local investors to help finance the Puerto Rico's government's growth, so that we developed a public finance area, which became a banking area. And then we had to grow the capital market side, and then we got into the mutual fund side, and we, over the years, we created an integrated firm in which we offer in Puerto Rico everything which is available in any financial center, all integrated within one firm, and that has made us a very lucrative firm. And we have grown from those two people to 400 and some. We have here investment banking, retirement planning, capital markets, investment banking, wealth management, a trust company with a asset management group that runs a almost $11 billion in assets. And so we have. Over the years, built this very important financial entity.
You get into venture capital with a smaller Puerto Rican entities?
Well, when there was a good venture capital law here, we were involved in venture capital. The law that exists today is really non-utilizable, so we don't do that.
Is that one of the things we have to change?
Well, I'd like before to have a law passed to do private equities. The reason that I'm not pushing to have a venture fund law is that requires to have tax benefits to the investors. And I would think that with the present fiscal situation that we encounter in the government, it's gonna be very hard to sell Hacienda to give tax benefits. But in the private equities area, which you don't need to provide tax benefits, it's just the right vehicle to institutionalize investors into the private equities. That's something I favor very much. But anyway, we have in Puerto Rico huge capital markets today. When we began here, the first large deal that was done in Puerto Rico, which was the Puerto Rico Telephone bond offering before Puerto Rico Telephone was an authority, we took almost a month to sell $300 million. Today, we can raise funds for the government a couple of billion dollars in a couple of days. So we have a huge, sophisticated, local fixed income market, and the industry to operate. So,
but isn't one of our
long ways?
Isn't one of our weaknesses, though? I mean, as a non-expert, this, but one of our weaknesses and complaints of private businesses that they don't have access to. Which is the private equity financing.
That's what we don't
that
have.
They don't have the access to financing.
Because we don't have the vehicle. You cannot raise the money unless you have the vehicle. And we've been at this now 18 years, trying to get a law passed, a private equities law, so we can provide businesses that merit financing, capital financing, but unless you have the vehicle, you cannot group the funds. So it's a chicken and egg, and yeah, we haven't made the omelet yet.
Yeah, that's funny because I just interviewed Matoño Matosanto's son, who was in Austria, and he's in private equity financing, and he was describing how they operate.
Sure.
And he'll be on the program with that interview, and it was just fascinating. How much they put in and how they work it. And I just say, well, that's something I don't think was happening in Puerto Rico. I think maybe Cyril Meduña has
one in which he began many, 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 many years ago. And that's the only one that exists here. And unfortunately, we don't have the vehicle to be able to institutionalize it.
I would think that's something we should really prioritize.
18 years I've been at it, wow. And I've twice gotten it through the legislature, but it hasn't become law. So maybe I hope that
is that part of the Puerto Rico Coalition program.
Yes,
it is.
They're pushing to have that happen. So in 2012 we may finally have a private equity.
And you think there will be in the local community the guts or the desire to not have fixed income, to be more risk.
Well, it's not everybody's gonna be interested, and I don't think we can raise billions, but I surely we can raise a couple of hundred million, right. And that would come a long way. Remember that once you have a private equities funds in Puerto Rico invest, you can piggyback U.S. Equity funds also to come in. Right now, the problem is we don't have anything to show.
Yeah, the way that Jose Manuel was describing, he puts his personal money, and then the firm puts its purse. They put a lot, and then they go out to the third parties who put their money, and so everybody has a stake in it, and takes a licking if it doesn't work, and they get very involved in the entity. So the entities not only benefit from the equity, the capital that they're able to raise, but from the know-how of other people that come in and work with them once that investment is made.
And they're co-investors, so that bring a lot of expertise and knowledge. So this we need that to happen in Puerto Rico.
I think we need that so badly. it's just the cry if we don't get that. You know, okay. The challenges you've gone from UBS. Went through a number of stages. Were there moments of lack of sleep because of things that happened?
Yes,
in different purchases and consolidations.
Well, the merger between Blythe Eastman Dillon and Payne Webber was a disastrous merger. It brought in a lot of problems that were finally resolved, but it took a lot of doing. And then it became a very prosperous firm.
But two different cultures, or
the systems weren't attuned to each other, and the cultures were different, and all kinds of things. But it finally became a very, very, very prosperous firm, And it was finally acquired by UBS, which... Yeah. which.
But in that transition, was your position as chairman challenged at all?
Well, no. when the PayWeber acquired UBS, the only thing that happened in Puerto Rico is we changed the name.
Right.
There was no change at all. We changed the name, and we then began working with the UBS, which brought in a lot of resources and good stuff. And it's not until the recent problems that have been in the press that have been a challenge in UBS. UBS has been a very strong, very, very, very global firm, and it's a huge firm, huge firm.
And where do you see yourself? You know, just going to stay on being chairman. You're going to
I enjoy what I'm doing, and I'm sure that I can do more. But right now, I am concentrating in things that can help the firm grow here in Puerto Rico, and to increase the size of the marketplace, because the product of Puerto Rico is still 30 by 100, and we have a large market share. So if we can increase the size of the market, then the firm can grow faster than normal. So one of the things that I've been much involved in is what has finally been called the 933A project, which began being something else, but it's developed into that. And what that tries to do is by helping the U.S. economy to help the Puerto Rican economy. Because what the 933A project does, it allows a Puerto Rican corporation to pay dividends to a U.S. corporation under the same terms and conditions as U.S. corporations today pay to another U.S. corporation.
Right.
And that small tweak of a law is huge for Puerto Rico, because then Puerto Rico could attract world entities to become Puerto Rican corporations and have access to the U.S. capital markets. And that, to me, would be a transforming event for Puerto Rico, would make Puerto Rico one of the main financial centers of the world, because we would be the way to funnel the excess funds U.S. corporations have abroad back into the States through Puerto Rico.
Right.
Through Puerto Rico. So you're talking about trillions of dollars flowing through Puerto Rico in an economy which right now is impoverished. So we would go from being a problem economy to being an outstanding economy. And that is something that I'm much involved in. I have the coalition involved in. We were lucky to have both parties endorse it.
Right.
Something that has unprecedented that both parties endorse this.
And the unions
and the private industry and everybody. So this could happen. And the reason I believe it's good for the U.S., it's good for Puerto Rico, it's good for the corporations. There's nobody comes bad. You know, this is good for everybody. We'll see if politically we can get the people to agree, but I think it's if you ever want a home run, this is a home run.
Okay. And Miguel, you know, besides the business world and you're, it's not just running UBS and, you know, looking with these the greater picture of Puerto Rico and economic development, which is good for UBS, but it's good for Puerto Rico. You have all that insight and all that drive to get that accomplished. You spend a lot of your time and your efforts and your passion and your love in the cultural area and the arts. You know, what is your specific project now? What is your biggest challenge now in the arts that you're trying to accomplish
well,
at this time?
I have great interest in promoting young artists to receive the recognition in their early years, not having to die to be recognized. We have in Puerto Rico a lot of very good artists, young artists. In fact, the other day I was talking to Antonio Martorell about this, and he said, he's probably a much better judge of that than I, and he said, you know, Miguel, there have never been such good young artists in Puerto Rico as today. But they take a long time to be recognized, especially economically recognized. And a lot of them give up and do other things. So we have tried to help stimulate these artists to remain artists, to grow, and to receive some kind of recognition, especially economic. So we've created, the employees of UBS Puerto Rico have formed a fund, an endowment fund, to run a biannual emerging markets prize. The selection is done by people selected by the Museo de Arte de Puerto Rico, and they have this contest and select an artist. There have been three prizes given, and the prize becomes the property of the Museo de Arte's collection. It's shown as that. So you get an economic benefit for the artist, and he gets immediate recognition by being in a recognized museum already. Right. So that helps his career. We've done the same thing, or I've done the same thing in the photos by having something called Photomax, which is run by the Museo de Arte Contemporáneo in Labra. And this is the same idea, but for photos. It's gonna be biannual. We're gonna have a contest, photo contest. They'll get the judges, they will give a prize, and that prize becomes the property of the Museo de Arte, the Museo de Contemporáneo collection. So that he gets an economic benefit and recognition. And we've done that also with the grafiteros, by having a Puerto Rico sized contest and promotion for graffiti a couple of years ago, and we will probably repeat that after the elections. And like that, so that besides being very interested as a collector, I'm very interested in promoting art, artists.
Yeah, my sense is when we're trying to attract investors from outside, one of the key things is our educational system, our quality of life, and culture is critical. And it's so important that people like you, spend the time and the effort with the passion that you do it, and with the interest and with the know-how. I really commend you for that, because that's we need more people like you spending more time thinking about Puerto Rico as a whole, thinking about our cultural and our educational and our other things that are important if we're going to be an attractive place for business people to come, and for business people to stay, which is what we have to do both. Okay? Keep the ones that we have, and we have to bring the ones that we don't have.
Well, I am now proposing to the three major museums that they join forces and help Puerto Rico become an art destination. Art destination, as Miami is now under Art Basel, right. Art destination. And my idea is to forge an alliance of the three museums with the Festival Casals, with the Hotel Association, and with Turismo, and create a happening around Festival Casals where all the museums would have art showings, first class art showings, Festival Casals. And Puerto Rico would announce itself as an art destination for that month.
Tremendous idea.
And I'm sure that the first and second years will just do something. But if we do it long enough, like Miami has done with Art Basel, or Basel has done with Art Basel in Switzerland, we can become an art destination. People will come to Puerto Rico at least once a year to see art.
Right.
And that would really be a powerful tool to put Puerto Rico in a different level from our Caribbean neighbors, because they cannot do this.
Right.
We can do this.
Well, Miguel, we've run out of time. I want to thank you for spending this time with me. I want to thank you for what you have done for Puerto Rico, and commend you for what you have done, and wish you the best.
Jorge, thank you for inviting me, and un abrazo.
Thank you for joining our Business Resolutions discussion with Jorge Gonzalez, who extends an invitation for 8:05 again next Saturday.